Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SMB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us for the talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions and call IDs 17702. Or you can go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can go to twitch.tv. We've got a stream there, twitch.tv/SFU on call. And tonight is one of those nights that you want to do that because it's a show and tell. If you can't, I can't show you if you're not looking at the video feed. Moving onward and forward, if you want to contact me, you can use my email address. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you won't reach me with Twitter. My account there is sfuoncall. And, of course, you want to follow me on my personal account. That's Paul Franz, P-A-U-F-R-N-Z. Warning, I talk about tech and I talk about being Catholic. And, of course, I have a tertiary account called Franz Games where I announce client updates and different things that are happening on the Franz Games business. On to the ADB news for this week. Steve Cole was busy working on A Call to Arms Starfleet Book 2.2, many blogs, and also art for Tholian Master Starship book Shapeways, and of course other projects that he's working on. Mr. Petrick was working on SFB updates and also the Tholian Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on updates for the GURPS Federation and GURPS Klingon. And also she was managing, of course, Facebook and also the Rangers. And, of course, the Twitter feed, making things happen there. And, of course, she was proofreading the Tholian Master Starship book and, of course, Call to Arms Starfleet book 2.2 and busy taking care of customers. Moving on to the SFB Online Tournament, we have, the Sapphire Star Tournament number 3. Coming up, and we've already got 7 signups. That leaves only 9 slots. So sign up before they're all gone. And a quick library report for this week. Unfortunately, no progress there. The complete conversions still stay at 2,522, with yet to be converted at 799. That leaves a percent complete at 75.94%. That's just a tiny, tiny little bit away from 76%. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, you got Dave, and hopefully you will be watching the video stream on this one, or at the very least, looking at the YouTube version. I will have that posted up shortly. And of course, also you should be able to find us on twitch.tv. The video will be there for at least a little while. I forget how long they actually keep my beautiful video podcast up on that site, but I know it's a limited because I don't pay for it, so they only give me so much. So tonight we're actually gonna do something quite a bit differently. I've heard people, well, most people are those people on YouTube. There's a couple, at least one individual, who really thinks this should be more about, less about the podcast and more about having things on the YouTube, at least on the YouTube feed, where we go through games. And the whole idea is to get some interest about Starfleet battles, which, to be honest, this podcast isn't just about Starfleet battles, just in case. If you've been listening or watching long enough, I'm assuming that you, at this point, you know that is the case. It's not just about Starfleet battles. We have Starfleet Warlord, which is, of course, I run. But also there's Federation Commander. A little about the FNE, because, to be honest, I don't know that much about FNE. So hopefully, and I do mean hopefully, we will be doing something quite interesting this time. for those individuals who are looking for something a little more interesting, I understand that for those who are just listening on the podcast, this might not be quite as interesting. I'm hoping to give you at least some audio context to what we're seeing video-wise, because what we're going to be doing here is at the part, I'm not sure how far we're going to get through this, and depending upon what kind of feedback I get on this, what I'm wanting to do is to, I've got one of my Starfire games, I think it's from the first Starfire series. First Starfire tournament. And this is my Seltorian against the Gorn. And I just want to go through it a little bit, show what happened, maybe go through some of my thinking, or at the very least, maybe not as much as my thinking, because of it's been 6 months or more, probably, I think more. At the very least, we can go through. I want to go through the game and show what happened. You know, I've got this set up so that it is going like four speed. Obviously, even if at four times the speed, it's going to be kind of slow. At least in some respects, but hopefully you'll find this interesting. I know I'm pretty sure I'll find it interesting, but we'll just have to wait and see. Obviously, you guys on YouTube who like to comment, I would definitely appreciate any input that you would give me on this podcast. Okay, so onward and forward, my dear friends. Okay, so this, I've got a VLC up. I've shrunk it a little bit so things aren't as crisp as they would normally be, but I want to be able to see the TalkShoe chat room, because David likes being there, and that's where we get the most interest. I'm still, believe it or not, right over this direction. I am. That's where I've got the Twitch TV stream showing, so I can actually keep an eye on it, so that everybody, you know, so if someone's in the Twitch chat room, I will be able to easily communicate with them there, probably talk back to them and so forth, maybe answer any questions that people have on the podcast. And obviously, depending upon how things go this week, I might do another one of these things, maybe continue on where I left off in this game, because I can tell you now, we're not going to get through this full game here. So let's start this. And this is basically where I'm filling out my energy allocation form. Since I'm going against the Gorn, the one thing I want to do here is start fast. You know, speed 24, then it's going up to speed 27. The reason why I go to, let me just do one quick thing here. Let's pause that. The one reason I go up to speed 27 is because in the Seltorian, it has fast warp. That is, it has more warp than speed 30. In this case, it has 32 warp. With 32 warp, I can actually go up to 28, I think it is the fastest I can go. Yeah, 28. That's assuming that I also do allocate 1 point of movement using impulse power. Do 1 point of movement using impulse power. At speed 28, I can still do a het. Unlike most other movement cost one ships. Obviously, the good thing about the Seltorian is the number of phasers. It's got a good number of phasers on it, so that it should be able to hold off any Gorn, you know, any plasma. Now, obviously, one thing I did do right here, which is I allocated two Wild Weasels just in case there's a requirement for me to stop, because this is still a plasma ship. So in that case, I still want to have that backup just in case I get basically cornered, in which case I will stop and wild weasel any torps that I need to. Obviously, my feeling about it is that stopping is a bad thing to do. You want to keep up your speed, especially against plasma and seeking weapons. In my mind, it minimizes the whole seeking weapon as terrain aspect to the game. At least, you know, to those seeking weapons, so that I can still control a certain bit of that. Obviously, the biggest issue with plasmas are their speed 32. In tournament play, most drones are speed 20s, so you still have to go a little faster, but you can outrun them. Versus some of the 32 speed drones, which the Zinni and the Klingon get, you have to keep those in mind. But they're limited quantity, so it's not nearly as an issue. So, you know, do a little, I'm right here, yeah. I want to allocate a bit of power. And if you notice here, right here. Okay, I've got 3 points on my shield number one to protect my shield number one. Because of, in this ship, shield number one is very important to keep. So even if the idea is that I don't want to show my shield number one, but I might be forced to by situations, but I'll have some protection. And if you notice also, I only got 1.5 per particle can. What that means is that since I'm only doing 1.5, that means I have overloaded particle cannons available to me, but it's the minimum. If I want to go for, there's two kinds of Seltorian, at least for me. There is the fast Seltorian and there's the slow Seltorian. The slow Seltorian will go slower, will put more power into a weapon. So this would be like 2.5 instead of 1.5. But I want the speed because I want to keep ahead of the torpedoes. I want to control the range as much as possible and also run them out as much as possible and avoid using my phasers as much as possible because of I'm going to be running a lot from the plasma because, you know, when you have a plasma ship and you hit right into it, that's exactly what he wants you to do. so that's why I want to do that. You know, 25 movement on this. Okay, now I'm all ready. I'm just taking a quick look-see at, I'm at the top of the map. The Gorn is at the bottom. Grim finished up. And obviously I'm controlling it. This is, obviously, we have what's called do zip. So we just go boom, 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 boom until later on in the first turn. What we would do then is slow down if possible. Obviously, there's something happened on Impulse 5 that he wants to think. I don't remember what he did here. Okay. But I think we continued zip. Yeah, zip after this. Try to keep an eye on the ship as much as possible. You know, have the board so that I can see both ships on the board. Now, obviously, as you notice here, the scrolls. So there's some before, some after. Change the speed to 16. We're going to be closing in quite quickly. And when it comes to, again, seeking weapons, one of the things, obviously, that you want to do with seeking weapons is that you want to control the center of the board. You do not want to give up the center of the board to your opponent. And that is exactly why I need to come directly in to him. Now, this is not Gorn. I'm sorry. This is ISC. I thought this was Gorn. And that's another reason to actually, I guess I got confused when I saw Grimm. I thought it was Gorn. It's not. That's another reason to reinforce the shield number one, so that if you use this PBD because of, this is key, there's the range. Range 15, the magical range. I'm surprised, actually, that he did not fire his PBD at this range, because of it's one of those ranges which the IC likes to start firing so as you get closer. And then the idea is with a plasma is that you would, at range 10, that's when you would actually launch your plasma, because of that, that's optimum, because if you're coming directly in, it's going directly at you. That's range 5. That means it's going to be, it's maximum, not maximum range, but the maximum range for the most damage that it can do. Okay, 14, I forget what he does here. So we just wait for a moment. Developing plasma. Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, I think I remember this game now. That being that, I think I run right into this plasma. You know, knock it down a bit. But I have it hit me, because I went, oh, it's not going to hit me. It's not going to hurt that much. But it peppered my shields. You know. Right there, and this is where he fires his PPD, which is at range 10. Obviously, if you notice, it actually had, he did two D1s. In theory, with the client, you can do a D2, two D6s in one roll. And just to let you know, there's no difference between rolling two D6s and, I mean, you know, separately, and rolling to do two D6s together. There's no difference in the code, just to let you know. Okay. So. Right. 1-1, 4, and 3, and of course he does 1 point of damage to my shield number 1. So it's already got sandblasted a bit. Oh, yeah, that's true. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, let's take that all back. Because that's another nice little feature, which is undoing damage. You can do it up to, it's usually the first thing it does is it says, okay, what's the last volley, and we'll let you do that. Excuse me. So he's going to beat on my shield number 6. I forget if I turn in or not. I would think I would. Yeah. Beat up on my poor shield number 6. What did it ever do to you? You know? So, okay. Okay. Someone is calling in. I'm not sure who that is. And just for those who are watching, listening, I'm doing a video cast stream also on Twitch, just to let you know. Okay, I did turn in at this point. Oh, hey Ken, how you doing? So, actually, Ken, is that you calling in, or is that something or somebody else? Okay. Well, let me do something. Let's pause that for a moment. Let's see. Hey, Ken, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, how you doing, Ken?
Doing well.
Are you actually able to watch the video stream on Twitch?
No, I'm on TalkShoe, and the only thing that's there is the voice information.
Understood. Understood. Yeah.
So what's the Twitch stream?
Twitch stream is twitch.tv/SFU on call. What I've got up there right now is I'm going over a video of one of my games. This is Sapphire Star Tournament, where I played the Saltorian against the ISC. In fact, I know it's the first one. Yeah, if you want to, you can you can watch me on Twitch, listen to me on the phone, and chat with me on TalkShoe. You want to talk about a crazy kind of situation there? Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to move forward. Okay, Ken?
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, so got beat up. After a couple pulses, I actually turned into the ISC so that to protect, that happens to my shield number 6, it doesn't get completely peppered down. And obviously, the one thing about shield number 1 is that shield number 1 is also reinforced to a 3 points of power, so that could actually save a little bit there too. Actually, after the first two, you got two more. You only got 1 point of reinforcement left after that. So not everything got hit on shield number 1. And we still have the enveloping plasma torpedo closing in on me. And at this point, I'm pretty sure I let it hit me, because one thing, this in my mind at this point, this would be since I'm still going fast. I think I sideslip here to sideslip away from the plasma. Is that right? I'll have to wait because I'm currently doing activity. Oh. Got fire from the ISC, and I'm willing to bet, I forget if he fires phasers or not. Okay, because did I get the? I don't. Okay, no. Yep, he fired 3 phasers at me at shield them. Bink bink. Yeah, shield number 1 plus the PBD, so I can know. Yeah, I forgot there was shield number 1. I had to go back and fix it because I screwed up. This is always the fun part, which is manually fixing the shields. So, okay, we're already on to impulse 19. We're going to impulse 20 at this point. And the ISC turns away, big surprise, because not quite he's shot his wad, but, this is for ISC and any other plasma race, Empire, sorry, Gene. that you're going to launch a plasma and you're going to turn away. Now, actually the G's actually could be sudo, but of course this is a developer, which means that it's definitely not sudo. And yeah, I didn't even fire a phaser at it and just let it hit me smack dab. Hits me. Yeah, 40 points spur down, which is 6 and then a couple 7s, right? Right. Yeah, I was trying to figure out where I wanted it. So I figured, oh, you know, okay, 6 points of damage around the shields. Oh, I'm fine. Yeah. At this point, I'm not sure if, even reflecting back on this game, I'm not sure if that was a good move or not. Whether actually firing phasers to reduce the amount of damage would have really been that great of an idea, because of, let me see, 8 times 4 is 32, so I could have knocked it down by 16. 16 divided by 6 is 2. So I could have saved two boxes on each shield. So the question is, would that have been worth it? I'm not sure at this point. You know, and definitely launching a wild weasel at this point in the game, where I'm near the middle of the game board, is silly. Yes, I've got the positionally I'm where I want to be, but at the same time, if I wild weasel this guy off, I'm giving up a lot of I was saying momentum, but that's not really what I'm thinking of. Initiative. That's what I'm giving up. I'm giving up initiative to the ISC player, you know, to Grimm. And I don't think that's such a good idea, especially this early in the game. This early in the game, it's kind of crazy. So overall, thinking back on it, I don't think that was a bad move. Maybe I should have fired the phasers at it, but at the same time, firing all those phasers at it, I'm not sure I couldn't have gotten 8. I could have gotten 6. But that's 6 points of power that I have to recharge and use, you know, early on. Okay, he fires another 3 phaser ones at me. And of course, that really hurts my shield number 1. So my shield number 1 is down to 2 boxes. So he's, you know, beating the crap out of my shield number 1. Big surprise. I'm not sure what we're waiting on. Yeah, he was thinking for a bit. Okay. Yeah, and I think this is where I'm. Yeah, this is where. Okay. That's weird. I should have got a notification of change of speed. Because I allocated, and I don't see. Usually there's notifications. Okay, this is where I was close enough. I was range 7, so I decided to fire 3 shield crackers. And of course, what I do, I miss with 2 out of 3, so I only get 4 points of damage. And I think. I can call for fire. That's one of the things with this game, is that it's a tournament game, and if the opponent wants call for fire, you do call for fire personally. I'm one of those pure impulse activity people who disagree with the whole idea of call for fire, which simulates what you do as a yeah. messed with quite a few of the... okay, let's do this for a moment. I did not... Yeah. I hit with one shield cracker. And let's go back. Yeah, as Grim pointed, as I pointed out, it definitely was under average. I hit with one out of three shield crackers, which are 50% to hit at this range. And same, and I hit with one out of four particle cannons, which again are 50% to hit. So it's so totally under average. It's ridiculous. Now, fortunately, it's not like I completely missed, which would have been awful. But again, that's a total of 10 points of damage to a shield number four. Now, I kind of like that. You know, I like getting the rear shields because of invariably, you know, he's going to be running away from me. And this, I think I select the target. Okay, and I fire four phase at once. Again, this time is range seven, which is not exactly the best with this. So total of 8 points of damage. So I've gotten, so the shield number four is pretty beat up at this point. But if I would have rolled better, I could have had a down shield and really been in a much better position overall then I ended up in at the end of turn number one. Okay. Oh, I don't know what happened here. Sorry, it repeated it. I'm not sure why it went backwards. Okay, let's see if I can go a little forwards. Okay, 30. And he's running away. I'm chasing him. Now, obviously, there's a minor problem with me chasing him. And that's my shield number one is facing him. So, there comes the problem. Which is, now he has plasma coming at me. Obviously, he has to launch out shield direction A because he's currently facing direction C. So his rear plasmas have to go out either. He has two of them. One could go out A. The other one could go out E. And also, these are defensive firing. So for against a ship, he only can fire one against a ship per turn, which overall is... not too horrible when it comes to a duel situation. Most of the time, it's rare that you're going to need both of them. Obviously, you'd like to use both of them because of there are zero holding cost versus the G torpedoes, which I forget if there are one or two at this moment in time. It's been a while. Okay. Yeah, much better. And again, 11 points of damage. Range seven here. And so it knocked it down. And he uses batteries to have it so it got no internals, which, like, dang gone it, man. I wanted some internals. I needed some internals. And we didn't. Whoops. Yeah, I jumped the gun there. That is that I was asking for EA before my opponent had even completed his movement for impulse 32, which is not a good thing. I'm hoping to those people who are just listening and not watching the video that I am detailing this enough so that you can follow along. Because basically, okay, we're going through EA right now. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pause that for a moment. Just to catch up for those individuals who are on the video, on audio only, and still want to understand what happened. I came straight in, and so did the IC. The IC then fired his PPD at range 10 and started bopping me. Hit my shield number 6. I then turned in after 2 pulses so that I could protect my shield number 6. So he hits my shield number 1. At that point, he launched an enveloping plasma torpedo. He kept coming closer. He then fired phaser 1, hit my shield number 1. So my shield number 1 has got pretty weak. And then he continued, you know, I finally turned towards him. I'm going from top to bottom. So if you're looking at the board, it's to the right, but it's a left-hand turn for the ship. And for that, then his plasma torpedo does hit me. And then after the plasma torpedo hits me, he then fires his other 3 phaser 1s at me to reduce my shield number 1 down to 2 boxes. In the meanwhile, after he does that, then I continue to follow him, recognizing that I'm not going to be closing in close enough to him. At range 7, I unload over a number of impulses, starting at, I think it was impulse 24, where I first fired the shield cracker and the particle cannons, which don't do that much. Do all of, it was 6 and 4, so it's 10 points of damage. And then I fired phasers, got another 8 points of damage. And after that, then on impulse 31, I can't quite remember, that it was, I then fired 4 more phasers at him. And I completely knocked down the shield number 4. And the only reason why I didn't get internals is because I know, because I don't think anyone actually would reinforce shield number 4, that he uses batteries to reinforce his shield, so he just had enough to actually keep his, not keep his shield up, but keep from getting internals, which, you know, obviously, if you can't keep your shield up, you know, then at least you can't have it so you don't get internals. So at this point, we go on to the next turn. Yeah, I don't have any sound for this, which is a good thing. Yeah, Zero G stopped in and just mentioned that he liked the IC and he liked seeing the Saltorian flowing. Well, I, to be honest, I liked flying the Saltorian. Next to the Andromedan, I like playing the Saltorian. Now, these days, the Andromedan is such a poor ship. I don't like to fly it because of there's not much. It's almost a guarantee that I'm not going to win. You know? Maybe the next Sapphire Star tournament, star number 4, I will fly the Andromedan. I can tell you one thing, that is the current tournament, Sapphire Star tournament 3, I am not flying the Andromedan. That's all I will say at this moment in time. I will not tell you what ship I'm flying because we still have 9 slots and I don't want to give anyone an advantage on kicking my butt. So, not to say that, oh, that's exactly what people are going to do. They're going, oh, I got to choose the ship to beat Paul. I don't think so. I think there's bigger dangers than me, bigger fish to fry than me. Though, be honest, but I probably, after this, if we go through this and I get enough feedback on it that people enjoy what I'm doing, I might actually show you my Sapphire Star Tournament 2 game. I think did I record that? Yeah, I recorded that. And I'll probably do the same thing for my Sapphire Star Tournament 3, that at least the first round. Okay, let me see if I can speed this up a tiny bit. Skip ahead. Skip ahead. Okay, skip ahead. Okay, got to finish energy allocation. He announces a speed of 17. I announced one of 0. Yeah. I decided to give that up. I think the reason why I did what I did was because of that incoming plasma, and I really didn't have a chance of running away. And given that I had six to seven points of damage for at the minimum for each shield, I felt like it was best to cut my losses and kill the torpedo now. You know, give up the initiative at this point and let it go. Yeah, boom, 5 collateral damage on shield number 3. So that's not too bad. And that's awful. I'm sorry. I completely whizzed past what my speed pot was for the turn. That's why I didn't even know I was going to go speed 10-0. But I'm pretty sure I start with speed 0 and then I increase my speed. Yeah, that's one thing I did not expect. That he started speed 16 and he cut the speed 8 early in the turn. So, yep. So that would have made things, truly that would have been interesting if I would have going pretty fast. Because the problem with going fast for me would have been, okay, he will launch probably another plasma F at me. In addition, he probably would have launched a plasma G at me, because, and I would have been running away anyway because of he, you know, I can't, the Satorin currently is facing the same direction as the Gordon, meaning they're both going facing D. He's off my shield number 6 at the moment. Okay, the midterm speed change to speed 4 on impulse. I announced it on 7. That means I changed it on 8 so I can start moving forward. But so he's off my shield number 6. If I would have gone quite speedy, I probably would have come here and then turned. So it would have hit me with one plasma, probably launched another plasma. I probably would have gotten away, but then I couldn't have done any charging of my weapons hardly at all. To be honest, I don't remember if I actually recharged. I'm pretty sure I didn't recharge my particle cannons at this point, just because of, to me, at this, when it comes to flying the Saltorian, the one thing that you want to keep in mind is obviously, like most ships, what's the first, especially for single turn arming ships, the first weapons you want to recharge are your phasers, at least in SFB. Because of their capacitor, after you charge them, you don't have to charge them again. You don't have to put any energy towards them. They're saved up in the nice little battery, little capacitor. So they can be used at a later turn without any cost. Now, obviously, with the Saltorian, with the particle cannon, you can put energy in it, and you have to only recharge it, hold it, using half the amount of energy that's currently in the very leaky capacitor. Okay, sorry, I got distracted by some of the comments by Russ, because Russ showed up this evening. Hi, Russ, how you doing? And I've launched my other wall. He launched a second plasma. He launched a second plasma. So two of his plasma Fs, now, both of them are now gone. No, actually, sorry, that's not the F, that was the G. So he launched a pseudo. Yeah. As I mentioned too about the wild weasel, he's saying, "Oh, how can you pick it up?" Well, I first need to void it, and then I need to tractor it. And at that point, I probably announce a special engine procedure (SLP), and do that. And then, of course, it's going to take me two turns after I bring it in, because I think it's one crew action to convert it. To get it ready, at that point, then I can start charging it up again as a wild weasel. So, but I kept it active. I think I might have just later on. I actually abandoned the wild weasel I had in place. Yeah, Russ, since you're coming in late on this, this is my Sapphire Star tournament, the first tournament. This is the first game. This is a round one game to that tournament. This is the ISC versus Saltorian. At this point, we are in the middle of turn number two. He's already launched his pseudo G on the C launcher. He's launched one enveloper from his B launcher, and has also launched an F from, I think it's E launcher. It's the one on the left-hand side of his ship. That would be the D launcher. I'm just noticing over here that here's E, which is on the right-hand side. So, yeah, Grim was just mentioning, okay, when did Wild Weasel become crap. Bum, 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 bum. I think there's a glitch in VLC. I gotta look at that. Okay. Yeah. And at this point, I did a midterm speed change to speed 8, and so that voids the wild weasel. And at this, I don't remember, since I didn't actually, I wasn't careful, I don't know if I'm actually charging another wild weasel right now or not on turn 2. I hope I did. It looks like he launched an actual enveloper. Yeah, Well, we'll find out real quick if I actually... Well, no, it doesn't matter. I only had two wild weasels, which means that this enveloper is going to hit me, and it's going to hit me hard. The question is, do I fire phasers at it? Okay. Go forward ahead. Okay, a little bit farther ahead. Okay, so he's slowly going. Oh, yeah, that's one of the things I had to find out, which was, does the wild weasel keep, even though it's voided, does the wild weasel keep moving? And that's one thing that was a question that was, yeah, and I said yes, that it does keep moving, even, which means that it will keep going until it hits the wall, in which case it will stop. And since it's, which of course it'll be crippled, because when you hit the barrier, it's 5 points of damage. Okay, and then keep moving. Okay. Oh, I forgot about this. Since the ISC and the Celtorian both have a turn mode of D, the one thing that we have to do is simultaneous movement. Yay! Because we're both moving the same speed. He's moving speed 4, I'm moving speed 4. We're both moving speed 8. No, we're both moving speed 8. That's what it is. Both of them move speed 8, and therefore neither of us has an advantage over the other, in which case you have to do simultaneous movement, which means you have to, right here, there's a little simultaneous button so that simultaneous orders can be resolved. This is always fun part because, okay. He actually, shift speeds are 9. I forget if that was both of us or just him. Okay. Can we go back here? I missed something. I was talking and not paying attention. Okay. That was movement. We're moving speed 9. Okay. And now, And also speed change to speed 10. Yay! And if I did that because of, okay. Fire. Okay. I fired. Yeah. And yeah, at the, and def, I decided, okay, I fired every single, I fired every single phaser I could at him, at the plasma. Two phaser 3s. Okay, total damage. I had to calculate it out. It was 30. Yeah, total 37 points of damage. Against the plasma, which is a 40 strength. So divide that by 2. That would be 16. So it hits me for 24 points of damage. Right. But I run now the plasma. Okay, it's been 10 impulses, so it's going to hit me on impulse 11, which is a little bit better than 40. So it won't be 40. It will be, I think it decreases by 1. I mean, it's next range. Yeah, so 30 minus 18 is 12. So 2 on each shield. So I saved my bacon a little bit there. So that my shields aren't looking very good. I'm going to pause it here. Remaining shields. 2 point boxes, shield number 1. Shield number 2 is 21. Shield number 3 is 10. Shield number 4 is 15. Shield number 5 is 14. And shield number 6 is 12. So overall, pretty beat up shields. But of course, I've also gotten hit by 2 plasmas. He's used up 3 of his actual plasmas. And I got hit by his PBD. His PBD will be ready next turn. And I think that's pretty much it for the rest of the turn. Just go through this real quick. Right, at this point, I think it's just, right. Okay, and at that point, I will pause this because that's it for this one video. There's actually two videos for this game. So at this point, I'm pretty beat up. Let me look at something, which is... Okay. I was just wondering if he had EA. And he doesn't, I don't think he ever replied. My guess is he didn't have an EA. End of turn activities. I.e. Repairing his shields, because he could have repaired his shields. Because this was turn two. His shields were damaged on turn one. That's about it, you know. Yes, I live around Reading, and I drive in the Philadelphia on Tuesdays. Well, not into Philly. It's a little outside of Philly. It's called West Conshohocken, is where my office is. But anyway. So, overall, you know, it's... At this point in the game, I'm not too bad off. But the problem is, at this point, is that... Obviously, he's got the upper hand. He has beaten down my shields tremendously. He's got, next turn, his PPD will be available to fire. In theory, he can also launch two plasmas. He can launch this plasma F from his E launcher over here, which actually, for him... is on this side of the ship. So it's actually, it's facing my ship. Not really facing it, but it's on the proper side for launching towards my ship. He's actually, at this point, he's at range 13 of my ship. He's off my shield number 5. And I'm off his shield number 2. So we got... Pretty good distance. Again, I don't remember what happens in this game. It's been quite a bit of time, so I can't say whether I turned in. If you guys really want to find out, I'll be happy to continue with this little almost tutorial of this game and how well I did. Yeah. Just to let you know, spoiler alert, I lose, but overall it was a good game. I will have to review this game. And if you want me to, I'll be okay. Russ wants to see more. I'm not sure about Dave. I'm sure I'm willing to bet Dave will probably want to see more. But you guys on YouTube, because I will be posting this to YouTube and see what you think. Do you like me going over this on the podcast? Obviously, as I said, if you go to TLC, you'll see. On playback, I've got this cranked at the moment. Just because of invariably, as you see, the video is 2 hours and 48 minutes long. There's some pauses and so forth, and I can get through. Obviously, I went through a lot of the game and took me around a little less than an hour to go through almost 3 hours of game. Probably less because I have introduction and so forth. So it was like 40 minutes. So I went through a lot of the game in a short period of time. So, yeah, obviously Russ want me to do this. And looks like Dave probably would be interested in doing it too. I know that Dave is probably over here in the chat room, though he did not announce himself, which is fine. For the Twitch TV. But as you can see over here, he's here. So if the next time Barry's not available, I'll be happy to continue this game and move on to the next portion. Ah, hello. But anyway, yeah. Hi, Barry. There's a Barry in the chat room. Move like a knight. Interesting. But anyhow, so I think with that we will end this evening's podcast, and I'm hoping that everyone both here and online really have enjoyed it. So, and with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night. Good part about VLC is that you can play it back at 4 times the speed. So I was able to actually make it interesting in my mind. Okay, well, I need to put this thing together for this evening, both the audio portion and also the video portion, so I can post it up to YouTube and see what kind of feedback I get. So guys, I will say goodnight to you. And of course, Andros do rule. That's fine, Russ. Go Chiefs. Jeez, I'm torn when it comes to Super Bowl, whether I want the Chiefs to win or I want the 49ers to win. I'm torn between the two. So, okay, I'll go with Chiefs. Okay, see you guys.
Recording paused. Your line has been disconnected by the moderator. Goodbye.